Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, chapter 10, text 22.
Bhujamanasya Rishibhi
Atmana
Tat Jigrikshita Karno Cha Nirabhidyetam Disha Shrutam Munagraha
Bhujamanasya
Rishibhi Atmanas taj jigrikshata Karno cha nirabhidyetam Disha shrutram guna graha Bhujamana.
Desiring to understand.
Rishibhi,
by the authorities.
Atmana,
of the Supreme Being.
Tat,
that.
Jigrikshita,
when he desired to take up.
Karno,
the ears.
Cha,
also.
Nirabhidyetam,
became manifested.
Disha,
the direction, or the god of air.
Shrotram,
the power of hearing.
Gunagraha,
and the objects of hearing. By development of the desire of the great sages to know, the ears, the power of hearing, the controlling deity of hearing, and the objects of hearing became manifested. The great sages desired to hear about the self. Self with a capital S, that means the Supreme Self. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, by advancement of knowledge, one should try to know about the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum of everything. Knowledge does not mean knowledge only of the laws of nature or physical knowledge, which are working by the direction of the Lord. The scientists are eager to hear about the physical laws working in material nature. They are eager to hear through the medium of radio and television about things taking place far away from them on other planets. But they should know that the power of hearing and the instruments for hearing were given to them by the Lord for hearing about the self or about the Lord. Unfortunately, the power of hearing is misused in hearing the vibrations of mundane affairs. The great sages were interested in hearing about the Lord through Vedic knowledge and nothing more. That is the beginning of oral reception of knowledge. Oral means not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L through the ear. Oral reception of knowledge. Om Ajnana Chinandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshuni Tatmina Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Whenever we think of our senses, we should at least recognize that there are three things involved with any sense activity. There is that particular sense itself. Bhagavad Gita describes you have the Gyanendriyas, the knowledge-acquiring senses. Eyes, ear, tongue, nose, sense of touch, like that. And then there's the Karmendriyas, the working senses, arms, legs, evacuating organs, etc. So, that's one thing, the senses. Now try to understand this, because then you can get a grip on your physical situation in this world. Try to understand what's going on. You have senses, but these senses aren't acting alone. Senses require sense objects. Now, senses are always in relation to sense objects. That's number two. And number three, there's a controlling deity of each sense. That most people don't know about. The devas, the demigods. Every little department of material nature, little and big, is under the control of some demigod. This is well known in India. In fact, it's too well known because many people in India think that worshipping the devas or the demigods is the ultimate. They fail to understand what Krishna plainly says in Bhagavad Gita, that aham adyahi devanam. Krishna says, I am certainly the origin of all the demigods. And that those who worship the demigods seeking some temporary material benefit, they are mistaken. They're violating proper procedures. It's like when you want something from the mayor and you decide, oh, I won't approach the mayor, you bribe a clerk. Improper procedure. Three things. The sense, the particular sense that you're focusing on, that sense object, and the deity in control, the demigod in control of that sense and that sense activity. When you can see this whole picture, then you can be holistic. Otherwise, people talk about the word holistic, holistic healing, but they know nothing about the demigods in charge of each sense. Or to speak of the Supreme Lord who's in charge of everything. But if you're going to see properly materially, at least you have to see those three things. There's nothing spiritual about those three things. The sense object, and the demigod in charge. This is all on the material platform. Although, the part of the deva in charge is subtle when seen from the viewpoint of Western materialistic science. Whereas you go to any village in India, and it's considered common knowledge that there are devas in charge of all aspects of material existence. Westerners think that that's mythology and fairy tales. Just because they don't have the consciousness powerful enough, for example, to control the rain or to control eye movements. So they think, we haven't seen anybody who's doing that, and we haven't seen anybody with that kind of cosmic power, so it must all be mythology. Beyond the material level of perception is the spiritual level of perception. To see Krishna above everything. Seeing Krishna above everything doesn't mean you lose your head in the clouds. No. It means you see the whole system with Krishna on top. You see the material sense. You see the material sense object. You understand the demigod in charge of that sense, and you know that all those three things are under Krishna's control. Now, the next time your senses are in action, why the next time your senses are always in action? Just like now you're hearing, aural reception, A-U-R-A-L. You're hearing. And the sense object you're hearing is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Godhead. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you're directly associating with Krishna. Just like when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you're directly associating with the Supreme Lord. Through the ear and the tongue, you're engaging two senses. The tongue is vibrating, the ear is hearing. Actually, of course, the mind should be involved too. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you are touching the lotus feet of the Lord. At every moment, your senses are always active. Bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, means to connect the senses to spiritual sense objects under a pre-devised program. For example, you wake up early in the morning and you chant and you hear. That is a pre-designed program for engaging your senses in Krishna's service. Throughout the day, you're doing different tasks using your body, your mind, your intelligence, hopefully. And in this way, you experience full absorption in Krishna's service, and then you are blissful. When you are fully absorbed in Krishna's service, fully absorbed in Krishna's service means all your senses Krishna conscious sense objects. For example, when you go out to distribute prasad, the people, they're tasting a spiritual sense object. You're giving them that benediction. They're putting on their tongue food that has been offered to Krishna. Therefore, they can make some small beginning in understanding Krishna. Because, as the Padma Purana states, Atatshri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indrayam. No one can understand the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna with their blunt material senses. But, Seva Mukhi Hi Jivado Swayameva Spratyada. If you begin devotional service with your tongue, just by vibrating the holy name and tasting food that's offered to Krishna, then gradually Krishna becomes revealed to you. What we are doing here is offering everyone a chance to engage their senses in Krishna's service. The more you are absorbed with spiritual sense objects, the more blissful and knowledgeable you'll be. And the less, then, the more you'll be on the mental platform, concocting various plans to fulfill your desires. You've all tried that before, most of you. Is it blissful? Concocting with your mind plans how to satisfy yourself, how to achieve things for yourself. It's very boring and dry. But the amazing thing is, you think, I'm going to be happy in this way. I'm looking out for me, number one. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yeah, to my life. But you're never satisfied, and everyone can see it. They can see it on your face. Nothing is as satisfied as complete absorption and even the simplest service to Krishna. Whether you're washing pots or sweeping the floor, whatever. If your mind and senses are fully engaged, that is the perfection of your life. When your mind and senses are fully engaged in Krishna's service, then you see, this is better than me concocting in my mind how I'm going to satisfy myself. It's amazing, too. How it is that by serving Krishna with my senses, I'm happy. And when I serve myself with my senses, I'm not happy. How is that? It's actually a great mystery from the material point of view. That's why materialists cannot understand devotional service. They cannot see how you're happy just by serving Krishna. They don't understand it. They think, oh, you must be taking a break from the real world. Or this is just a phase you're going through. Little do they know that what you're doing is far more satisfying than anything they could ever think of. This is a reality that you should be demonstrating to the people for their benefit. Demonstrate to them the reality of pleasure by serving Krishna's senses instead of your own. Every devotee should have a very healthy service appetite. You shouldn't be lethargic. And you should have some dedication that sometimes things are a bit difficult. This is the material world. Sometimes, you know, living with others is difficult. But if you're dedicated to giving Krishna pleasure, you'll tolerate. Isn't that the natural thing you do for someone you care? You tolerate some inconveniences? If you want to make solid advancement in Krishna consciousness, you should have some service that you dedicate yourself to. That dedication will build up in you powers of tolerance and patience and determination. Krishna will arrange things so that you can use your service as a chance to demonstrate your budding love for Krishna. Because unless you care for someone, you won't tolerate. We would like that all of you put your hearts into devotional service. You have to beg Krishna for that opportunity. By devotional service, Krishna is conquered. We should beg Krishna, please give me the opportunity to absorb my mind in your service. Let me put my heart into the service. Please give me such a situation. I want that more than any material comforts and opulences. What's most important to you? A good husband, a good wife, money. What's most important to you? You may want those things. Still, you should recognize the most important thing to you is just an opportunity to serve Krishna with full absorption, all your heart. At least understand that is your number one priority in life. That is your greatest wealth. I hope that there's ample opportunity here for you all to put your heart into some service. Whether it's cooking or distributing books or assisting the guests, cleaning. We've spoken before from time to time about the importance of cleanliness, how attractive it is, both personal and in your environment. And it's also attractive to deal with persons who have knowledge. So all of you should be regularly equipping yourself with transcendental knowledge so that you can help people. You should use this opportunity to advance in purification, advance in dedication to Krishna's service. Krishna's service is so powerful that even if there have been some problems in your devotional life, by solid absorption in Krishna's service, everything can be rectified. The main barrier to devotees absorbing themselves properly in Krishna's service is their mind. Oh, I gotta do what I want, I gotta do things my way, oh, I don't know. When they're on the mental like that, they cannot absorb themselves fully in Krishna's service. Our first priority is the need of the soul, and the soul is crying out for absorption in Krishna's service. That begins with absorption in the holy name of the Lord. Without absorption in Krishna's service, you start thinking, well, I've got to think about me. I've got to think about my mind, my senses, what's good for me? And Krishna comes in at number two. And you even try to make a deal. Okay, Krishna, just wait over there while I satisfy me. Once I'm satisfied, then I can easily engage in your service. When you think like this, you're missing out on the mysticism of bhakti yoga. The mysticism of bhakti yoga is that simply by satisfying Krishna, everything is perfectly taken care of. Just by satisfying Krishna. We want you to get that realization and then give it to others. These sages had developed the desire to know the Supreme Absolute Truth. We all should be eager every day to hear about Krishna. You'll find that amazingly, hearing about Krishna satisfies you. Your material desires are quenched and your spiritual desires are nourished just by hearing about Krishna. As Nectar of Instruction says, the essence of all advice is that you should mold your day, mold your activities so that all day long you're hearing the glories of the Lord. The benefit of living together one way or another, that you have persons who to glorify Krishna with. So use the opportunity, seize the opportunity to always glorify Krishna in the association of devotees. Sometimes it's so simple though that we as the years go by, we think we need something else. And anyone will tell you who's been through that. At that point, the complications begin in your life, when you think you need something else besides glorifying Krishna. We want at least a few devotees who are very focused and who are able to tolerate with determination. We used to derive great strength by reading Prabhupada Lilamrita and seeing all that Srila Prabhupada went through, or some of what Srila Prabhupada went through, because not everything is in the Lilamrita. Seeing some of what Srila Prabhupada went through just to deliver Krishna consciousness to people. That makes us feel a little bit obligated, that we should add value to Prabhupada's mission. The problem is, some of you have this little guy on the inside your head just wants to, you know. You ever see, like, when Dennis and Robin bring their kids here? Well, a lot of you have minds like that. You know, what are the kids' names? Noah and what? The three of them now, huh? Yeah, you see, they just like run all over the place. They're so active, and you know, so the mind is like that. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. Now I'll try this. And the real way to use your plan-making propensity is to plan how to be absorbed in Krishna's service with dedication. That is the only thing that's going to satisfy you. We see that those devotees who know how to be absorbed and remain absorbed, they pass over all obstacles of conditioned life. Certainly there are obstacles, we're not going to deny that. But Krishna says you'll pass over them by my grace if you follow his instructions. And Krishna's instructions are meant for guiding us how to be fully engaged, fully absorbed in his service. Here's a wonderful opportunity to learn that. We have different levels and tracks in the school here. Some of you have been here for a long time, some a short time. Some of you are living a very renounced life. Others, you know, you have jobs and things like that. And some of you are two steps. Some of you have both feet in the spiritual world, so to speak. Others, you have one foot out, one foot in, and gradually making your step. And different combinations and permutations. Some of you don't know what you're doing with yourself, but at least you're willing to try to settle down and find out and slightly listen. The thing that you should be grappling with is my need to be absorbed in Krishna's service. My need to have a full program for my senses. Because if you don't have a full program for your senses in devotional service, you know what's going to happen. The senses must have a program. We're meant to develop aspirations in Krishna's service. Every human being has to have aspirations. So we should aspire. Yes, I want to be like this. This is my goal. When you have a goal to be absorbed in Krishna's service, then you'll realize you need the association of devotees. In the association of serious devotees, it's very possible to be fully absorbed in the nectar of devotional service. Then we'll appreciate other devotees. Even though they're different from us materially, they give us the opportunity to remain absorbed in Krishna's service. It's like if you just walk around here, you'll just bump into this devotee and that devotee. They're doing service. This is the best situation. And in spite of living inconveniences in the living arrangements and so many things like that, think about the benefit. The benefit far outweighs the inconveniences. And certainly there are inconveniences there. But we should appreciate our fellow devotees and let them know it. Because they give us, our fellow devotees give us a chance to hear about Krishna, to remain focused on Krishna. Of course, if you just start talking loosely, then everything becomes dissipated. I'm sure you've all had that experience. When you start loose talking about things not directly related to Krishna's service, for Krishna's pleasure, you feel like you're being drained. You've all experienced that. It's a great art how to use the tongue and the ear. And you'll learn that art gradually if you are dedicated from the very beginning to glorifying Krishna. It's a great art. How to use the tongue, what to talk about. The immediate way you can differentiate between a devotee of Krishna and a non-devotee is look at what the tongue is doing. What is the tongue vibrating? Mundane subject matter? Or is it glorifying Krishna? What does Shukadeva Goswami say in the beginning of the second canto? Shotavyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrutva Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedina. The Grihamedis, those who are doggedly attached to mundane family life, they have hundreds and thousands of subject matters for talking about and hearing. Because they're blind to the absolute truth. We want you all to be alive in Krishna consciousness. And to be wide open-eyed with the absolute truth, not blind. But you have to have some technical knowledge of yoga. Don't think that hatha yoga has its technical fine points. No. Bhakti yoga has technical points about how to engage all the senses in Krishna's service. How to live a spotless life. Based on attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We hope that, as always, you all are making an effort to hear the holy name and you're making an effort to study the books. Then you'll have a full life of Krishna's service. Demonstrate to others that it's possible because they need to see the example. They need to see the theory in practice. Because of what their tongues do, their lives are parched and dry. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says the tongue of a materialist is like a desert. Because of vibrating so much mundane sound. But when the when the nectarian waters of hearing and chanting by Krishna flow over that desert-like tongue, then there's a wondrous experience of celebration. You should make a chart during the day if you want. Chart what your tongue does. If you really want to have a full scientific research, chart every one of your senses. is a good experiment for you, Dave. You can keep a journal for 1 week. What are your senses doing at every hour? I mean, writing down every minute, that would be cumbersome. At least every hour. Right now, my senses are doing like this. And now they're doing like that. Include your mind, too. The mind is a sense from the Vedic point of view. Or you don't want to do all the five senses. Five knowledge-acquiring senses. They're working senses, too. But at least do the knowledge-acquiring senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, sense of touch. You can't do the five knowledge-acquiring senses. At least do the tongue. Keep track of what your tongue is talking about for a whole week. It'd be an interesting experiment. And then start, after you do that, you keep track of what your tongue has been vibrating for a week. Then try to understand, when you review that log, try to understand how the activity of your tongue brought different states of consciousness and different results. These are some projects you can do. You know, like kids in high school have science projects. Any questions? One who is properly engaged in bhakti yoga is not creating any more karma. An example is given, though, that just like a fan, electric fan is turning, when you turn the power off, though, the fan, the blades are still moving even though the power is off. The blades are still moving due to past energy of momentum. So a devotee properly engaged in Krishna service doesn't make new karma. But that devotee may be feeling the residual effects of past karma. Only Krishna can take people's karma away. That's why he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Prachajam Ramekam Shanam Vaja. Abandon all speculations about what you think is religion and just surrender to me. I'm from Sarva Pape Pyo Mukshesha Mimasucha. I'll take the karma, I'll take the sinful reactions away from you. Don't worry. Only Krishna can take the spiritual master as Krishna's representative. The spiritual master has no mercy of his own. Nor does he take the karma on his own. But if you make vows and don't keep them, then the spiritual master does have to suffer a little bit. Every time you take prasad, that's what's going on. You're doing a miracle, transmuting matter into spirit through Bhagavan prasad. You like that program, don't you? This is the supreme alchemy. Transmuting ordinary vegetables, fruits, and grains into prasad. No one doubts Krishna then when you're taking prasad. No one doubts, well, I don't know if I should be practicing this Krishna consciousness. Then you're fully fixed, right? Is that what happened to you when you first took prasad? You know? Yeah, this makes sense. Everyone likes to eat. the West, they don't know how to eat. They eat so many abominable things. In India, they know how to eat. Srila Prabhupada once said, the happiness of Indian family life is eating. Everyone knows in India that, you know, yeah, eating is the central household ritual. The wife may be qualified in so many ways, but she can't cook. Everything is a disaster. The tongue is the most powerful sense. So offer your food to Krishna, and then you're transmuting matter into spirit, and you'll taste the result. You've tasted vegetables and grains and fruits before. Why is it that when they're offered to Krishna, it's a completely different experience? Why? Yes. So you've proved it to yourself. Yes, you engage in devotional service. That's the alchemy. Have you read Bhagavad Gita? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktyamam abhijanati, only by devotional service. You want to transform. Well, you know, I'd like to please you, so I'm going to let go a lot of balloons on Oriental Parade. I know that's really going to make you happy. Isn't that enough to please you? Why am I not? I'm willing to please you. I have that desire. Yeah, I'm doing it for so many reasons. I want to please you, and I'm going to let off these balloons on Oriental Parade. That's right. Similarly, what you're doing has nothing to do with Krishna. Your goal of purification won't be achieved. Even if you're the greatest impersonalist yogi, the goal of purification will not be achieved. That's why Krishna says in the 7th chapter of Gita, Bahunam Jamalamante Ganavam Mam Prapajite. After many births and deaths, even the metaphysical speculators finally understand Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurabha. Such a great soul is very rare. So how many births are you going to speculate for? That you have to decide. Meanwhile, go on chanting Hare Krishna. And gradually get more and more purified. You're chanting? Okay. Gradually, the mind will come under control. And all the past tendencies will be transcended. You're not gonna speculate your way to Krishna. It's just not gonna happen. Everything? How do you know it's everything? How do you know it's everything? Why do you accept so easily someone says, this is a mathematical formula for everything? And why do you accept? You don't know. If I told you I'm the Queen of England, would you accept it? Did she just leave her... Oh, I can't... Huh? I can't use that example anymore. Is there another one that comes? Who takes the post now? Oh, not the queen. Okay, so. Alright, so I can still use the example. Alright. I could say, I'm the Queen of England. Now, would you accept that? Why not? Well, then similarly, someone who says they have the mathematical formula for everything, I don't accept it. They don't even know what everything is. People who say like that can't even account for subtle matter, what to speak of consciousness, and they're talking about a theory of everything. And certainly they can't account for the spiritual energy. So how is it everything? wish you really.
Anything gross that you've experienced, but you don't know about subtle things.
You just don't. Your knowledge of this material world is limited. And you, what to speak of the spiritual world? Subtle matter. Krishna describes subtle matter in Bhagavad Gita. Kangmano Buddha Ivata, mind, intelligence, and false ego. If you understood false ego, you wouldn't be a speculator. The speculation is an activity of the false ego.
I can understand everything.
Everything should be understandable by me because I am me.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
There are two ways to get knowledge. The Varoha Panta and the Avaroha Panta, Sanskrit words. The path of descending knowledge and the path of ascending knowledge. The ascending way to get knowledge means, with my great powers I will rise up and understand everything, grasp everything. And the descending process of getting knowledge means it comes down from above, like the elevator. Avaroha Panta, descending, like an avatar, that which descends from the spiritual world to the material world. So you must become accustomed to the Avaroha Panta, descending knowledge. And give up this addiction to speculation. Well, what about
this? What about that?
If I tell you this is a book stand, you'll say, but maybe there are situations in which, you know, it's not a book stand. Maybe someone, I haven't seen it before, but I can imagine that in some country ladies use this as a headdress. This is an idle speculation. Well, there are different levels of what you can receive. The different levels of revealed scriptures. Certain things can be explained mathematically. Not everything. Try to explain Goloka Vrindavan mathematically. You have to understand a basic thing. There's the realm of matter and the realm of spirit. A materialist, no matter how expert, can't even fully explain the realm of matter. The demigods say that, but they cannot even understand fully the workings of material nature. And they're not talking about the spiritual world, they're talking about the material world. Have you been to every universe in the cosmos? Yes. There's spirit souls in them with material bodies. All right. You're being dog stubborn now. You know, when dog gets a rag in its mouth. Any of you ever had dogs before? And they get something in its mouth, and you try to yank it out, and they go, arr, arr. They hold it tight in their teeth, and you're like, come on, Fido, open your mouth, let the bone come out, let the rag come out. It just grits its teeth and holds on to the rag. All right. Any other questions? What about? I'm asking you. You can say what about, so I'm saying what about. That's what you want? You want to be a Viking? Now that we know. That's the first intelligent thing you said. You don't know what you want. Just go on chanting Hare Krishna. Gradually this disease will clear up. Okay, that's it. Stop. Any other questions? What kind of association? And a float in what? Very difficult. because you have no one to stir the ocean of hearing and chanting Krishna's glories with. And generally, very quickly, you'll just be locked up in your own skull. And, you know, you just torture yourself with your mind.
What about this? What about that?
You'll freak yourself out. We require the association of devotees. Mm. Where is Stu? Visiting his parents or something? Huh? Huh? Why'd they do that? And let the sound go in your ear. It's not a thinking exercise. But if you just concentrate on hearing, then naturally, in a non-artificial way, Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes will enter your mind. But you don't have to try for that. So just hear. While you're chanting. Before you're chanting, between rounds, you can make some kind of mental prayer. Satisfied with it, so you see, I have to do it my way, and then I'll be satisfied with it. You understand, right? If I do it my way, I'll be satisfied, and that way, I'll be able to serve Krishna best. We're praying to do things Krishna's way. Yeah. We should have some experience by now of being bullheaded. We should look for the marks of the horns on the walls that we've run into. We should observe how our mind can be like Robin and Dennis's kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Why can't you chant with other devotees?
There. You can ask him about these details. Haven't you asked him? Why not? He's not sleeping, is he? Oh, he's sick sometimes. Well, anyway, these are details you can ask him. You're getting better, yes? Yeah? But he's just gradually. Yes. What is Rupa Goswami saying, nectar of instruction? Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya. The holy name of the Lord is like sugar candy, but our tongue is affected by the jaundice of ignorance. But if you carefully chant these holy names every day, gradually the natural sweetness will become revived. The holy name is always sweet, but because our tongue is afflicted, we don't taste that sweetness. But if every day we make an effort to chant nicely, we'll experience the natural sweetness that's already there. You pay for engaging in material activities is that the brain becomes dull. Especially the sinful activities so prominent in Kali Yuga actually destroy the intelligence and the memory. Maybe you can ask some of these devotees what they were like when they first started practicing Krishna consciousness. Very little ability to concentrate, little ability to retain anything. These are the effects of vice. Sometimes you may think, well, it was all part of a learning experience. You may say that, but the fact is you're damaging yourself by those activities. And who knows if you'll ever learn by material life. Now you come to Krishna consciousness and you'll take some time to repair yourself. But it will work, without a doubt. But just understand the effects of sinful activity. And don't act in such a way as to injure yourself again. There's complete hope, because so many started like that. What is your goal? in. You need guidance. How to do that. And good association. You should feel grateful to someone, and that gratitude keeps you determined. That gratitude is most effective when you're grateful for instructions, even more than the personal association. Instructions are the most important thing. Krishna consciousness is mystical, so actually you associate more with the person who's giving instruction than with that person physically. The instruction, associated with instruction, is more powerful and closer also. Hard to understand materially. So if you feel grateful that someone's trying to pull you out of the cycle of repeated birth and death, you show that gratitude by attaching yourself to the instruction, which is more important even than the physical presence. If you're not grateful to anyone, well, that's unfortunate. Or you still have some way to go. Okay? What do you think?